And we looked at this last time. And Shane, I think I'm on. Yes, I am on. All right. Now, this is only on me for recording purposes. There is no magnification of my voice. So don't think, Pastor, we don't hear you because there is no magnification on that. Amen. All right. Acts chapter number 20. And we're actually going down and finding out what's going on in Paul's journey here. And as he's recounting things to the church there, the elders at Ephesus. So Acts chapter 20. If you got your Bibles there and you're able, go ahead and stand with me. I want to read our text for tonight. Acts chapter 20. And verse 22 down through 27, we've already covered 22 through 24, so we're pretty much just be talking about 25, 6, and 7. So Acts chapter number 20, and verse 22, and let's start reading in verse number 22. I want you to read with me there, and we'll read down, and we'll stop at verse 27. Here we go. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Father, bless the next moments that we have together. Lord, help us to glean a blessing from Paul's life and his message here to the elders at Ephesus. And Lord, I just pray when everything is said and done, it may make a difference in our life, Lord, that we may say the same thing that Paul said, none of these things move me. And Lord, we might do the work that you've called us to do. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight. There's one without Christ, Lord. And press upon that man, woman, boy, or girl the great need to trust Christ before it's everlasting too late. And for us as Christians, Lord, help us to leave here differently than we came in, ready to do the will and the work of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, coming off of this study of the Acts, and we're coming to Paul's account to the elders here at Ephesus. And you know, we started this whole situation this way. If you knew you were going to see someone for the very last time, what would you tell them? What would you tell? What would be your words to them? Paul here, being the missionary that he is, wanted to give them some final instructions after having spent years with them, wanting to give them some more knowledge, some more wisdom, some more instruction. And as a parent would do a child, they would say this or that or the other. Kat's here. And I'm sure before her dad left, he probably gave her some instructions about our church or about Tucson or about the VA or something like that. Before she went off to college, I'm sure he talked to her and said, this is what it's about. This is what's going to happen. Pastor White did the same thing with his daughters. When my children leave, I'll do the same thing. I'm sure Bob did the same thing for you and Margie when y'all left home. Hey, when you get out there, this is what to expect. This is what's going to happen. We all do that. Amen. Brother Matt's not even thinking about that yet because his daughter is still young. She ain't going nowhere. She's going to stay with daddy for the rest of her life. Amen. But we all have those times. And Paul here has brought the elders together. He spent many years with them, and now he's beginning to let them know a little bit about his journey that he has made. And we're coming up here, and we call this area here in verses 22 and 23, Paul's molding on his journey. And he said, bonds and afflictions abide me. Or in other words, I'm going to be put in jail wherever I go. Now imagine if you were to go somewhere, somebody said, you're going to go to jail when you get there. Imagine, Brother Neil, they said, now if you go in and tell the truth, they're going to put you in jail. Do you think I'd have told the truth? Take bets on that. Amen. Yeah, I don't know what I would have did. I hope I would tell the truth, irregardless. But when I did tell the truth, I didn't know they were going to read me my rights. I said, ho, 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 ho. What happened? Where are we going? He said, well, you said this 7 years ago, and you said this now. What happened? Well, Jesus happened. What if they just said, clink? Well, you better Jesus to jail then. Amen. I don't know. Paul said, you know what? Bonds and afflictions abide me. Notice what he said down in verse 22. He says, testifying both, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit into Jerusalem. He says, I'm bound by the Spirit of God and by my own spirit to do this, not knowing the things that should befall me. He said, I don't really know what's going to happen there. He said, but this is one thing I know. The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city wherever I go, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. A bonds and affliction is going to go wherever I go because people don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear it. You go and you start talking about Jesus Christ in the schools, they'll shut you down quick. Now, you talk about Muhammad all you want to. And you can talk about just about anybody else in the school system, but you talk about Jesus, and we got a problem. You go into a place and want to pray in Jesus' name. They got a problem with that. I praise God. I went to preach over in St. Vincent and the Grenadines years ago. It's one of those islands off of Miami in that area. And I went there to preach, and they had me go into the schools. And I could preach with freedom, and they wanted me to preach. And I thought, glory to God. They said, now you go to this classroom, and I go in that classroom and preach about Jonah. Go in this classroom, preach about Moses. Go in that classroom, preach about Abraham. And I thought, glory to God. Would to God we had that in America. And the kids wanted to hear it. The teachers came and sat down and wanted to hear it. Praise God. And I thought, man, this is heaven. And I came back to the States, and boy, they don't want to hear it at all in the schools. Amen. And I didn't have to worry about bonds and afflictions abiding me. They wanted to hear it. Paul said, you know what? My journey along the way, I know one thing is that my molding on this journey has come through the trials and the tribulations and the tests that I had to go through in living for God. And God can mold us by these things. Amen. And then we looked at verse number 24, and this is Paul's movement on the journey. His movement. Notice what he says down there. He says, knowing what I know, none of these things move me. It's not going to bother me one bit. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Just imagine, Matt, if you go to Rhode Island, they said, now there's one condition. You can't mention Jesus when you come up here. And your family, they can't go to church when they come up here. And you can't teach your baby about Jesus. That's the only condition, small condition. Hey, aren't you glad they don't say that in America? Hey, we're getting there. We're getting there. Paul said, none of these things move me. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. If I'm going to let that move me, then I've done Jesus Christ a disservice, and I'm not going to have joy. Amen. You cannot have joy in a Christian life doing Jesus a disservice. You just can't. Amen. No more than I can have joy in this life doing my wife a disservice. Somebody say amen. Husbands, we can't do our wives a disservice and think we're going to have joy. Amen. I know that for a fact. Hey, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. Amen, G2? When mama's happy, everybody's happy. Joshua knows it. G2 knows it. Amen. They crack me up all the time. They say, hey, wait a minute. You know, women are different. Yeah, you think? Just figure that one out. Amen. They think that, why don't they do? Because they're women. They're not like us, son. They it's different. We go to the store. They say, now watch. Mom's going to go in the store. She says she's getting one thing, and she's going to come out with more than one. Dad goes to the store, come out with one thing. I know where I'm going. Get it? Come back out. G2 says, now, why can't mom be like that? I said, because mom is mom. Mom is mom. They're different than it. They're cut different. And praise God that they are. It'd be boring if everybody was like us. Amen. They are different. And so, you know, there's no joy if I'm going to do a disservice to my wife. Neither is there joy when I do Christ a disservice. He says, hey, look, he said, none of these things move me. He said, and I don't count my life dear unto myself. He said, because I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of who? The Lord Jesus. And so if I don't do this, even though I'm going to have bonds and afflictions, I'm not going to have joy. By the way, we won't either. If we don't live for God, we're not going to have joy. We'll be miserable. Why? He saved us for that reason, to tell others about him. And he says, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so Paul's movement on the journey, he says, you know what? I may have to go through some tough times. I may have to go through some miserable times, but nothing's going to hinder my service for God Almighty. And then we get to verse number 25 through 27. And this I call Paul's motive on the journey, his motive, why he did what he did. Notice verse 25. Now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul said, I know you're not going to see me anymore. Wherefore, verse 26, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. He said, I'm innocent. And notice what he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, all the counsel of God. Now, in a nutshell, the word there, counsel, means purposes or the will. So he says, I'm not shunned to declare unto you all the purposes or the volition or the will of God. If you had to sum up the will of God, the purpose of God in a nutshell, the counsel of God, what would you say? Anybody, what would you say? If you had to sum it up, what is the purpose of God? What is the will of God when it comes to you and I? And thinking about Paul's life and what he's trying to do. What is the purpose of God, the will of God, the counsel of God? Glorify God with our lives. Amen. That's why. Keep trusting the Lord. He will never fail. Amen. What else? The whole counsel of God. That we all may be saved. Amen. Whole counsel. Because he said, look, I'm free. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So what is all the counsel of God in a nutshell? If I had to sum that up. And you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Sin. And what has been happening ever since? Sin. And what has God been trying to do for us ever since? Save us. Amen. That, in essence, is the whole counsel of God. Man came, man sinned, and ever since, God's been trying to get us back. Amen. Every child that's been born has come out with that sin nature. Sooner or later, it's going to manifest itself. Amen. Matt, you're in the good stages now. Amen. Sooner or later, they get to that age where they said, no. And you think, where did you learn that word from? And you wonder where they learned it from, because you know they didn't learn it from you, amen. When they say, no, I'm not going to do that. Hey, you never heard me say that. Where'd you get that from? Sin nature. They don't have to get it from anybody, amen. And so the whole counsel of God, or the purpose of God, is God trying to get man away. And so Paul says, my motive on this journey has been to give you all the counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God, in a nutshell, is God trying to redeem man back. That's it in a nutshell. Over the next several minutes, I'm going to give you several verses here that you can utilize as you look at giving someone the gospel. Because Paul here is talking about the whole counsel of God. He says, I've given it to you. I've not shunned to do it to you or give it to you. And so you have it. And so over the next several minutes, we're going to look at several verses here and give you a very, very quick outline that you can use, similar to the one that I used for Pastor White when he had his ordination several years ago. What year was that you got ordained anyway, preacher? Was it 4 years? It seemed like it was longer than that. Were you guys here when Pastor White got ordained? So it was 14, huh? Man, it seemed like it was longer than that. It seemed like you always been ordained. Amen. So Paul's motive on the journey. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and briefly share the counsel of God in a nutshell, dealing with man over the next few moments. Amen. So the first thing that we're going to understand, if Paul here has been declaring to them all the counsel of God, then we've got to go back to man's creation. Was man created good or bad? Good. Amen. So go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. The whole counsel of God. So Paul would have had to share with the people that he's been preaching to that, you know what? At once upon a time, it was good. I like when Pastor White deals with people to get them saved. He likes to go back to Genesis and start there. By the way, a lot of missionaries have to start there as well, because many people don't know a lot of things about the New Testament. But they know about the sun. They know about the moon. They know about the stars. You can say, you know what? God created all that in 6 days. Amen. God did all that and rested on the seventh day. They can identify with sun, moon, stars, planet Earth. They can identify with that. Many times you got to go right back there. Hey, do you know who created that? Let me tell you who it is. It's the God of the Bible. And you can lead them to Christ. Genesis 1:31. You got that, Pastor White? Read that for me. Genesis 1:31. Amen. So man's creation was designed very good. God didn't make any problem, didn't make any mistakes. And I hear this all the time, and I'm sure you hear it. Why didn't God just make us robots? How many of y'all would like to be a robot? Yeah, we programmed you away from sugar. We don't want to be, we want to think and feel and we want to do our own thing. We don't want to be programmed. But people say, why didn't God just make us to obey him? Well, he could have, but he didn't. And I guarantee you, you wouldn't want to be a robot. I wouldn't. Not at all. But think about it. If your husband was a robot or your wife was a robot. No, y'all, some of y'all saying, it's good. I programmed them real good. Amen. No, you would get bored with that after a while, because it's programmed to do whatever you want to do. And that's no fun. What do kids do with toys that they can program and play with after a while? Don't play with them. They get tired of them. Throw them away somewhere. And that's how we will be. Why? There is no variety. There is no spontaneity there. There is nothing there that keeps me going. But when you have two people that are different, that have their own free wills, that can do what they want and what they like to do, amen, that makes a difference in a relationship. And God wants the same relationship with you and I. He wants us to love him because we love him, amen, not because we're programmed to love him. Yes, dear? Exactly. Amen. Good point. Amen. But you'll hear a lot of non-believers say that. Well, God could have prevented all this if he would have just created us this way. Well, yeah, the angels were created that way too. But guess what happened? They still sin too. Amen. And so God's man's creation was designed very good. And so that's point number one. Go to point number two, Genesis 2:17. Man's crime was disobedience. Amen. And of course, we know this. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. And notice what happened here. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. That's pretty much black and white, isn't it? Now, what if somebody told you the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die? What would you do? You say you wouldn't eat it. We say that now. But you got a slick tempter over there called Satan who came in. And think about this, too. At this time, there was only one authority. Whose authority was that? The authority of God. Satan came in with an alternate authority. Yea, hath God said? You haven't seen death yet, Eve, have you? You haven't seen anyone die. What does death look like, Eve? Does it have big horns on it? Does it have a big, long tail? You don't know what it is. God's just trying to pull the wool. If you eat this, you'll be like God. See, there's no authority. Hey, parents, you know how it is. As long as the authority is just you, that's not a problem. But when peers come in and try to challenge your children's, challenge your children to do something against your authority, what happens? They oftentimes want to give in. Why? They've got another authority. So we can say, we want to say, well, if I was in the garden, I wouldn't have ate it. Well, really? Satan is slick. Peer pressure is slick. And Satan can make it appear that it's in your best interest to do so. What do we like to tell our children? We warn them about the men out there that are the strange man or the strange woman or thing. We warn them about that. Why? We know what's out there. But guess who doesn't know what's out there? They don't. But then somebody tells them, wow, that boy's not so bad or that girl's not so bad. There's countless boys. My mother warned me up. She said, boy, stay away from that boy. Oh, mom, nothing wrong with him. Come to find out, there's a lot wrong with him. Boy, stay away from that girl. She's so fast. I mean, y'all know what that means, fast? Stay with, see, fast. I'm like, you mean like fast running fast? No, boy, we ain't talking about that kind of fast. You know what I'm talking about? I know what you're talking about, my boy. Stay with her, she fast. I'm like, Layla and Faith right there, what does fast mean? Running. We're talking about running, running. Running. Too big for their britches. Amen. And so he said, don't eat it. Of course, you know what happened. They ate of the fruit and, of course, sin. So we've got man's creation was designed very good. Man's crime was disobedience. They ate of the fruit and they disobeyed. We're all sinners by nature as a result, and we're sinners by choice. Amen. When's the last time somebody had to make you sin? They put a gun to you and said, you're going to sin or else. You know why? We're sinners by nature and sinners by choice. It comes too easy. So man's creation was designed very good. Man's crime was disobedience. Man's consequences in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And you'll hear this argument as well. Well, I didn't eat of the fruit, so I shouldn't have to die. Well, you know, do you sin? All have what? Sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. And by the way, it's in the blood. Romans 5 and verse 12. Notice what it said. And aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have the sinless blood like we have? Amen. How many of y'all enjoyed that one message we talked about the birth of the baby and things like that and how none of the blood is transferred to the baby? That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that the baby transfers no blood from the mom. So Jesus truly was sinless and didn't share the blood of Mary. He had the blood of God Almighty. That is absolutely amazing. Amen. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. How many men? one man, doesn't even mention Eve, it mentions the man, and death by sin, so death passed upon how many? All men, for that all have what? Sinned. Amen. So we know the man's consequences was death. Death was passed down from man to man. When you and I have children, they will be, guess what? Sinners. Amen. One day, our children are going to grow up. They're going to go out and get married. They will all have sinners for children. None of them will be sin-free. I know y'all say, well, I thought I was going to have some sin-free kids. Well, I thought that too. And then they came out and proved otherwise. Amen. What did they do? They followed after their father. And guess what I am? Sinner. And so guess what they are? Sinners. Now, if they were sinless, and I'd probably drop dead, but they're not. They prove it to me all the time. Amen. All right, so man's consequences was death. Amen. Go over to 1 John real quick. Well, let me see. Oh, we're in Romans right now. Romans 6:23. Go over there. And Jesus puts it down there, or Paul puts it down. For we know this already. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So man's disobedience, his crime was disobedience, his consequences was death. The wages of sin is death, and it's clear there, amen. And it's written down in the Bible so that we can see it. And go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. And this very quickly and easily spells out the problem. 1 John chapter number 3. And it says down there, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also what? The law. Whose law? God's law. For sin is the transgression of what? The law. So if we transgress God's law, we're sinners. Let's just put it this way. Brother Kaylee goes to Korea. He doesn't know anything about Korean law. And so he is driving on the wrong side of the street. You guys drive on the left side of the street over there, right? No? Same as here. Okay. So you guys were driving on the wrong side of the street. Okay, in Japan. Amen. So Kaylee comes over there. He's just come from Japan when he used to drive on the left side. Now he's driving on the right side, but he forgets he's driving on the left side. Is he guilty of breaking the law?
Yes.
But he didn't know the law. Does that matter?
No.
Doesn't matter. So it matters not whether you say, well, I don't know God's laws. Matters not. You're still guilty. I'd be like, I tried to pull it over going down to Vegas one time with my cousin, and I passed on the two single lines. I told y'all that before. How many know what does it means when it's two single lines? No passing. I passed on the two single lines, and the cop pulled me over, and he said, do you know you passed on two single lines? I gave him the stupidest answer. I said, I'm from out of state. When you're young, you do stuff like that. I was about 22 years old, you know. I said, I'm from out of state. And you know what the cop said? It's the same in every state. I thought, well, I was hoping it was going to work. He probably said, you bonehead. You don't even deserve a license. Give me your license. And I said, I'm from out of state. He said, then I had the nerve. He said, I'm going to write you a citation. I said, is that the same as a ticket? When I saw it, I thought, yep, guess it is. And I had to pay it too. Amen. Had that little black mark on my license. Amen. Every time I thought about it, I said, you bonehead. Why come you did that? Amen. Hey, sin is the transgression of the law. The law only shows sin. It cannot deliver us from sin. Did you know that? Law only shows that you break it. It can't take it away. And so sin is the transgression of the law. Go over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Again, we're talking about here Paul's motive on the journey. He said the whole counsel of God, man has been estranged from God, and God wants to get man back. But there's a problem. I've got to let you know that God created it all very good. It was designed good. Man's crime was disobedience. The consequences was death. Galatians chapter number 3, and let's see here, verse number 24. And notice what he says in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, more like an attendant, to bring us unto who? Christ, because the law showed that we could not keep it. And so the law brought us to Christ. I can't keep this law. Can you help me? Yes, I kept it for you and died on the cross for you voluntarily. And so the law was our schoolmaster bringing us to Christ that we might be justified by what? By faith and not the law. Why? We can't keep the law. And Paul's journey, he had to keep telling them, hey, you can't keep a law. You can't keep this law. It's got to be by grace through faith. That's the only way. And so going through this, I'm sure Paul said, look, I haven't shunned to give you this whole counsel of God. And then we get to the good part. Amen. The cleansing. Man's cleansing was by death. Amen. Go all the way back to Genesis, because people say Adam and Eve didn't get saved. I beg to differ. Genesis chapter 3. By the way, how many of y'all think you're going to see Adam and Eve in heaven? Amen. I believe they're going to be there. You say, preacher, how could they get saved? Same way Noah got saved. Noah found grace and now is the Lord. How do we get saved? By grace through faith. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 21. And notice what we find here. An early foreshadowing of the death of Christ. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of what? Skins. Where does skin come from? Animals. So that means an animal is walking around without a skin, right? He died. You take your skin off and see how long you last. I'm just saying. He says, hey, look, he gave coats of skins. And what did he do with it? Clothed them. They put it on. So they took an animal. God took an animal, shed the blood, and covered them, foreshadowing that Jesus Christ's blood would be shed in the future and was going to cover and take away our sins as well. So early on, you see the foreshadowing. Now, could they have refused the covering? Yes. Did they try to make up their own covering? Yes. They tried to sew some fig leaves together. And that didn't wash. Can you imagine fig leaves? That's not going to keep you, maybe they were pretty, had some ingenuity, amen. But the coat of skins was a whole lot better. So we see an early foreshadowing there of man's cleansing had to be by a death of someone. Back in the Old Testament, it was a death of something, which were animals. And the animal's blood that was shed signified and foreshadowed over and over again the Lamb of God, which was going to take away the sin of the world. So back then, it was just a temporary covering of their sin. But when you and I got saved, guess what? Our sins are wiped away. Our sins get washed away. Go over to John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1, because back there, they just got covered. John chapter 1, verse 29. And again, this is probably what Paul was teaching them, the whole counsel of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, what God was trying to do with them. John chapter 1 and verse 29, this is John the Baptist here. And what does John the Baptist say as he sees Jesus Christ? He says this, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? Taketh away the sin of the world. Before what happened? Covered. He said he took some lambs, he took the coats of skins and clothed them or covered them. Here he's going to take it away. Praise God. What a difference. What a difference. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's look at that one as well. 1 Peter 3, 18. So I want to give you a Bible workout because I want you to mark your Bible so that somebody asks you what's the counsel of God, what's the purpose of God. It's to save us. Amen. Why? We were doomed. We were destined for destruction. And we were created very good. Our crime was disobedience. The consequences was death, but the cleansing was also by death. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the who? The just for the who? Who's the unjust? We are. That he might bring us to who? God. That's the whole counsel of God. He wants to bring us to God. We cannot get to God the way we are. We've got to be cleaned up. To bring us to God. Being put to death in the what? Flesh. Why the flesh? Because we sin. Somebody's got to die. A man's got to die. God got to take our place. It's got to be a perfect, a sinless person to take our place. Because man's sin, man's got to pay the penalty. But not just any man. A perfect man. That man is Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross for our sins. Man for man, flesh for flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so we see man's cleansing was by death. And so as a result, Hebrews 9:22, you don't have to turn there, says this, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. So that brings us to our next point. Man's call was to deliverance. Romans chapter 10 and verse 23. God wants to deliver us. And that's the call that Paul went into every town, that you're in bondage to sin. God designed and created man very good. Man's crime was disobedience. So whether you sinned or someone else, that's beside the point. It's in your nature. It's in your blood. It's your choice. The consequences is death. But you can be cleansed by a death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had already died. But now man's call is to deliverance. Romans 10:23. Most of us have this one memorized here. Or is it 10:13? Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. 10:13. All right. So let's say that one together. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So it's there. The whole counsel of God says, hey, look, it was all designed very good. God created very good. Man then came over here and he had a crime. It was disobedience. The consequences were death. It passed upon all men. Cleansing also came by death, the death of Jesus Christ. And now he's calling to deliverance. Everybody can be saved if they so will. By the way, there will be nobody in heaven against their will. Say, what are you doing here? Somebody made me come to heaven. I don't think so. But there'll be a whole lot of people in hell don't know why they're there. But everybody in heaven will know how they got there. There will be no surprises. There'll be a whole lot of surprises in hell. That's why there's got to be a judgment, because people think that, well, God's not, he's not right putting me in hell. He's not fair. I don't belong here. And guess what? He's going to pull out the books and say, well, your name's not here, so it must be in that set of books. And that's not a good set of books. I want my name in the Lamb Book of Life. Amen. The one that counts. Amen. And so man's cleansing was by death, but his call was to deliverance. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is still calling men, women, boys, and girls every day to be saved from their sin and its judgment in hell. Young, old, shy, or bold, it doesn't make a difference. And guess what? When you get saved, it does make a difference. Amen. I still go back to Brother Neil, that agent. My design was not to witness to him. My design was to go and have this interview and answer all the questions correctly and get on out of there, get my security clearance. I had a top secret clearance. You know, I worked with all sorts of NATO documents, and I was a courier delivering top secret information and all these other top secret this. And I mean, I carried stuff that I didn't even know what I was carrying, Brother Matt. I thought this could be a nuclear bomb. And I carried all this stuff in there, and they'd say, what's in there? I said, I have no clue what's in here. I just know I'm supposed to deliver it. And I deliver it to important people in important places, and I'd go in. They do all this stuff here, and I had this little sheet with me, and I give it to them. They read it. You can't touch it. You can't scan it. You can't do anything. And they look at me kind of like, what are you doing over here? And I went to one country. Where was that at? I was at, I think, I had a car that had Polish plates on it, or looked like Polish plates. And they pulled me over. Are you from Poland? Look. I don't think so. What are you doing in this car? Getting my documents. Oh, okay. They let me go. I mean, I say, look, I wasn't going in there to witness. But guess what? When it came opportunity, and he said, why did you say what you said? The whole counsel of God came out. This is why. I'm a brand new creature. I'm a new creation in Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, this is why I did it. So man's call was deliverance. There'll be no surprises in heaven. Then the last one, this is the one that we're waiting for right now. And by the way, we can't get to heaven on our own. We're not good enough to get to heaven. We're not too bad to be saved. And we're not too good. We think we don't need to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. And Paul had to let them know, this is the whole counsel of God. Man's completion is one day to come. 1 Corinthians 15:52. And Paul told them over and over again. As a matter of fact, he told the Corinthian church about it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the best yet to come. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to get my glorified body. Oh, amen. Amen. It's not going to ache. It's not going to have pains. It's not going to have a bad Achilles. Amen. Not going to have arthritis in the ankle. It's not going to have any of those things. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 52, Paul here talking to the church at Corinth. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, means that we're not going to all die, but we shall all be changed. Who does all mean? All everybody or all saved? All saved. He's writing to the church at Corinth, so he's including them. Hey, look, all the people that are saved are going to be changed in a moment, and the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. How many of y'all know what a trumpet sounds like? So even if you don't know what it sounds like, guess what? You're going to be changed anyway. Amen. And I had one dream that I was being raptured up. My wife woke me up out of it. Shameful. Amen. And I thought, man, I was floating up to the air. My wife thought I was choking. I was going, ah. And to her, it sounded like, ah, ah, ah. And she went, Greg, you all right? I woke up. I was getting raptured. I said, I was going up. She said, I thought you was choking. I said, I'm choking now. Back here, amen. That ruined my dream. I tried to go back to sleep and catch up. It didn't work, amen. I'm grounded now, amen. But he says down there, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're all going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's going to happen. Amen. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What's our goal? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for much as your labor is not in vain. And Lord, Paul says, you know what, as I travel, as I go on and this journey, I want to tell everybody the whole purpose of God. The counsel is to redeem man, to get him back. God started man off very good. Man went astray, and God's been working to get him back ever since. And by the way, one day you and I are going to appear in heaven. We'll get a chance to see Paul. We'll get a chance to see some of these elders here, but you know, we'll get to see Jesus. Amen. We'll get to see Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to say, Lord, why didn't you give me another one of those rapture dreams after that one? Amen. So I can get one of those dreams back. But all of us as Christians ought to have the same motive on our journey, to give people the whole counsel of God when we get the opportunity. We may have some bonds and afflictions abiding us. We may not. It may be an easy road. It may not. But I do know this, that man needs to hear about the journey that God has taken us on. Paul here gives us a snippet of what he's telling the Ephesian elders here. Each one of us has a story. Each one of us has a journey that we've traveled. And each one of us can say, this is what God has done for me along the way. And let me share some of that with you. That's what I did with that agent, Brother Neil. I said, let me share with you why I'm telling the truth now. Paul said, let me tell you what happened on the road to Damascus. I saw a bright light. And I've never been the same. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So as you go throughout this week, and God's got a journey for you, you're going to come across some people. Think about what God has done for you. Share with them what God has done for you. Give that, when you get that opportunity, let them know what happened to you along the way. Because that's what Paul did. Paul said, I've not shunned to give you all the counsel of God. Now, you may not get the opportunity to share it all, but you may be able to share it. Peace. Whatever you get a chance to share, share it. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's just a greeting. Maybe somebody's having a bad day and you can say, you know, God bless you. I'll be praying for you. It could be something as simple as that. But let them know the counsel of God. Man is lost and man needs to be found. You and I have the truth. And let's give people the gospel. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Help us as we go on our journey. As we live this Christian life, Lord, that we may walk and do the will of God in our own lives. And Lord, help us to be what we need to be for the glory of God, Lord, on our journey. Bonds and afflictions may abide us. It may be a tough road. It may be an easy road, but whatever kind of road it is, help us to walk it with confidence that, Lord, you're on the throne of our hearts. And Lord, help us to leave here ready to say, none of these things will move me. I'm not counting my life dear unto myself. I want to finish my course with joy. And I cannot have joy if I don't share with other people what Jesus has done in my life. So help us, Lord Jesus, to do our dead level best to be a testimony and a witness throughout this week, whether we're at home or whether we're abroad, wherever we go, sharing the gospel. Help me as I go back east, Lord, to share the gospel along the way, wherever I get a chance to, and talk to people about Jesus and see people get saved for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us with our festivities now as we recognize and honor Miss Kat, Lord, and her achievements and what she's about to get to do here up in Idaho. It's been a blessing having her here. We pray you give her safety in her travel as she leaves out later on this week. And we just pray that your hand of mercy might guide us and lead us and direct us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.